Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hey.
And Izzy. Post Memorial Day. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing well. You get rest yesterday? No?
Yes? No.
Doesn't work that way.
No.
What do you say we do 30 minutes of previews before we start the show today? For those who missed yesterday's show. Little bugaboo.
Coming up this summer.
I just figured out that there's 30 minutes of previews at movie theater movies.
Fast and the Furious 12.
Put your phones away. No, I already did. Jake Hahn on the show talking Stanley Cup playoffs with us this hour. Mark Borchardt will join us to talk Major League Baseball. Drew Dinsick, National Basketball Association, and French Open, which is in full effect right now. And then Carl Sack a little later on, the NBA guru himself from Killer Sports, talking NBA playoffs with us a little later on the show. Plus, Kelly and I will talk some French Open who will advance the furthest props, and we'll do some Spurs OKC props. We sort of revisit our points and our threes made.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of response to that NL Cy Young blind resume stuff we did yesterday.
Yeah, it was great stuff, and a good call by you to put it out yesterday while we had the old Miz going crazy.
Jacob Mizorowski, that thing aged well in one day.
Yeah,
he is, honestly, like, I don't know how, if there was not a vote, he would not be the guy right now.
Did I see a major league record for the number of pitches over 100 miles an hour?
Am I wrong in saying it was like 57 or something?
Yeah, I saw 50-something, yeah. That's crazy.
7 innings. This is against the Cardinals yesterday. 7 innings strong, gave up 1 earned run on 2 hits, 12 Ks against 1 base on balls. ERA drops to 1.83, the whip to 0.83. And the strikeout percentage, once again, I mean, I didn't see it after yesterday, but it was teetering on 40% before yesterday's game. I would imagine it has gone over 40%. I'll get an update on that. But that's insanity with this kid,
mm-hmm.
who stormed into the league last year to much fanfare, keeping it going. We have tennis, by the way. Before we get into the NBA, I do have tennis plays, but they've all started. For subscribers, again, VSiN.com/picks, all of them in action right now. By the way, Jacob Mizorowski's updated strikeout rate, 40.3%.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if you know that, boys and girls, but that's freaking amazing. So there were 5 plays in the tennis. So tennis was not good yesterday. We had one winner. It was a big dog, but it was still not a good day yesterday. Today, we had a walkover that went in our favor, Kelly. The bottom of the screen.
Whoa!
Miyuka Uchijima.
That never happens.
In the third set, was down a break, I believe, and walked off the court. So that works out for us. You may have lost at some books. Most books, that's a refund. At least the way that we always graded here all through the years, always win or lose, it's a refund. The other 4 matches are all going right now. Vit Kapriva and Corentin Moutet. They are at 1 set apiece. Roman Andres Burruchaga and Sebastian Baez. They are updating. They are looking like they will be 1 set apiece here momentarily. How come I can't find that? There you go. Oh, no, maybe not. We're down a set and we're on serve again, so maybe not in that one. Taylor Townsend, we have +5.5 games. She was up 3-1 on Coco Gauff. She's now down a break, 5-3 in that. So that has taken a turn for the worse. And then Mayar Sharif, we're up a set on Dalma Galfi. So actually, more mixed results than it was 5 minutes ago, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, stuff changes quick, huh?
It was looking good 5 minutes ago, now looking more choppy than anything.
God bless the names in the opening rounds of the Grand Slams.
Mayar Sharif, Ahmed Abdelaziz.
Yeah, and Roman Andres Burruchaga.
Burruchaga. Used to be a great...
That's a badass name,
used
actually.
To be a great soccer player with that last name,
really?
As well. Oh, yeah. Burruchaga. I wonder if they're related. I don't know. All right. As far as the NBA last night, I mean, there's not much to say about the ball game
because it was
game 4 closeout, potential closeout for the New York Knicks, up 3-0 against the Cavaliers. And of course, we all cited the stats. Never been a 3-0 comeback in any best of 7 in the history of the NBA. Well, this one didn't get close. The Cavs were up 8-2, and that was their high water mark. Knicks go on a 9-0 run to take the lead. Then at the end of the first quarter, up 30-26, they take an 8-0. They go in on an 8-0 run. Buttress that with a 12-0 run to start the second quarter. That's a 20-0 run, is what that is, Kelly. And they were up 24 already. Got to 29 in the first half. Cavs got on a bit of a close to end the half, but it was still a 19-point margin at the break. Third quarter, Knicks would have another 12-0 run. They'd lead by 30. They led by 27 at the end of three. They led by as many as 45 in the fourth quarter. This was unwatchable. I don't know if, did you watch any of the second quarter? Didn't even bother watching anymore.
Second quarter, second half?
Second half, pardon me.
I dipped in lightly. I was flipping around. But even like every time I like turned it back on, Gil, I was like, I got to be the only human being on the planet watching this.
Well,
right now.
It was one of these regrettable. If you did not bet the Knicks last night, and I did not, it was a big time regrettable night because you're like, how did I not? Why did I not do this? Also, you could have kept doing it.
Yeah.
Which I was not. I don't regret that as much.
Okay, I was going to say, but it's one of those, because you and I have done a lot of live betting.
It
got so out of control so quick. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to tell myself, like, end of the first quarter, like, okay, yeah, get back into more Knicks. Like, this is definitely not going to swing at all.
Knicks, sweep, the Cavaliers, the Knicks are going to their first NBA Finals since 1999 in the lockout year of 1999. When they took on the Spurs, Spurs beat them in the finals. The Latrell Sprewell, Allen Houston-led New York Knicks at that time. 27 years later, here we are. And the Knicks are in. Knicks shot 49% for the field, 44.2% for behind the arc, 22 Cavs turnovers. As for the Cavs, can we do a little sports talk radio here for a second?
For sure.
James Harden after the game yesterday. It was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot. Genuinely, I do feel like we're the better team, but series-wise, we didn't show it.
I don't know, like the
okay.
Did you catch what the question was for that? Because I didn't. Like I saw Harden answering that, and I was like, "Why is Harden squirming so much?"
Oh,
like,
because the reporter asked something to the effect of, "How much better are they than you?"
Okay,
and he said, "Better than you," but basically he was like, "Better than us." I think we're
right,
better than them.
Right, that sounds right. The reporter mind games of how can I ask a question to get Harden to step in it like this? Yeah. It's always fun.
Breakpoint Townsend. Just want to point that out. I could be really annoying today on this show. Come on, Taylor.
You and I are oppo on this, too, somehow. Well, sort of. You've got the games.
Oh, yeah, I got the
Goff
games.
And a money line parlay.
We can both win. You know, I have to say, real quick, I did a bad job on the French Open podcast. Oh, Taylor into the net. I did a bad job on the French Open podcast because, you know, we were just getting the draw, and we were like, oh, Coco got the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't bother noticing in that harried state that she had Taylor Townsend in the first round. Taylor Townsend playing to win. She's not messing around. Anyway, so Harden says that. It was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot. Genuinely, I do feel like we're the better team, but series-wise, we didn't show it. And then Kenny Atkinson, head coach, the man who moments before, after game three, figuratively moments before, but after game three said, well, analytically, we should be up 2-1. We're up 2-1, even though they were down 3-0. He follows up this game with this quote, quote, we win those game sixes, meaning the two previous series against the Pistons. And who was it before that? Raptors before that. Remember, they had it on their racket in game six to close out those two series. They didn't. They closed them out in seven.
I'm just waiting for you to tell me whatever dumb thing he said about this.
Quote, we win those game sixes. We beat the Knicks. I'm not saying that, but I think it gives us a better chance. But the density of the frequency of the games played a part in it. Not just the frequency, Kelly.
Oh, my God.
Not just the density.
Oh, my God.
But the density of the frequency.
Oh, my God. Okay, first of all, you don't know you're going to beat the Knicks. So it's a ballsy thing to say regardless. And I don't know. How about just win those game sixes then? When it was on your racket and you had every chance to do that and to cut these series short. Yes, you set yourself up for not do well in the following rounds. Whose fault is that? It's nobody else's fault but your own.
Let me just refresh
your... I did not hear that live. That's incredible.
Let me refresh your memory on the margins of victory of these four games for the Knicks. 11, 16, 13, and 37 in games where the Cavs gave up a 22-point lead and trailed by as many in 2, 3, and 4 by 19, 17, and 45.
Do you know what it was for the playoffs margin of victory?
For what, the Cavs or the Knicks?
Knicks.
The Knicks we do have. So
you got the point differential.
We have a couple tweets about the Knicks. This is an epic run by the Knicks. First of all, they have the best point differential, according to Josh Dubow. Thank you, Josh. Best point differential in the first 14 games in a postseason. So this includes the Hawks series at the beginning.
It's not even close.
The 2026 Knicks are plus 271. And you will see that they are beating esteemed teams like the 2017 Dubs by 34 points in that. But here's even the more impressive one. Over the last 10 games, the Knicks point differential is plus 246. Now, we're going to throw up a graphic here. You're not going to be able to see it necessarily if you're watching because it's kind of detailed, and so it's very small print. But what you need to see here is this is not just 10 game spans in playoff history, Kelly. This is 10 game spans in the history of every team in the NBA regular season or playoffs. Mm-hmm. The New York Knicks 10 game span that we have just seen of plus 246 point differential is by far the best 10 game span in the history of the National Basketball Association. Now, if you see real quick, there's a few teams that are noted also on this graphic. Going right to left, those are the 2017 Dubs, the Jordan-led 1997 Chicago Bulls, and a Lou Alcindor, I believe it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar by this point, 1974 Milwaukee Bucks are the closest competition. That's what these Knicks do. And by the way, for those who are like, oh, well, yeah, but they played a really weak Eastern Conference. Yeah, but they did it in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did it in the playoffs. This extends. This is 11 games, too.
This is incredible. What do you mean it's 11? That's a 10-game graphic right there.
Yeah, I know. They have the last 11 games, though. Yeah. It's the best point differential ever.
Geddy Atkinson doesn't see it that way. James Harden doesn't see it that way. Come back. We'll talk OKC and the Spurs next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget about our great VSiN Pro discounted annual subscription. It's your final week to get a full year of VSiN Pro, normally $240 for just $199. And when you sign up now, we'll give you 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. You'll get daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 live video, plus full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. The offer expires after May 31st. Do not wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets, beat of the book, best listeners in the game. No emu Doug. Atkinson and Harden seem confused about math and basketball scores. The larger number means you win, and feelings of superior play do not count the score. Insert feelings, the song for sentimental back. Feelings. Golf better. Although this is a baseball question. I'll get to that a little later. Golf better about Parker Messick and the Cy Young. We'll talk about that later.
Medvedev lost?
Did he lose?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Loses in 5 sets to Adam Walton, the great Adam Walton.
Wow. So Taylor Fritz lost in his first round match. Didn't see that coming. Wasn't involved. Medvedev loses to Walton. Would never have made that play either.
Adam Walton with a great head of hair, too. Like a Joe Cirillo-esque head of hair there.
Yeah. Medvedev hates clay, famously. Christopher Lubeznik. Can the Knicks actually beat the West champ? Or did they simply look good because they were up against a team that appeared to be coached by Rowan Atkinson as opposed to Kenny Atkinson?
It's a long conversation we get to have for the next 8 days.
Yes, it is. Rowan Atkinson, for those who aren't familiar. Mr. Bean, perhaps you're familiar with his work.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did not know
Mr. Bean's real name ever.
I don't think so. I don't think they can beat the West champ, but if I were to ask the question that I think, you know, your friends would ask, right? Truth serum, who do the Knicks want to play in the finals? And as a Spurs guy, I would answer they'd probably prefer the Spurs just because OKC has so many bodies, and against their short rostered playoff group, that's probably not what you want to play. By the way, they were 0-2, I believe, against OKC this year, 2-1 against the Spurs, including the game we went to, the NBA Cup final.
Great NBA Cup.
Yeah.
Final rematch proving once again
that's right.
The win in the NBA Cup.
Revenge spot.
Like, we'll have plenty of time to talk about this. I think there are some cop-out answers here. Like, there's... I don't want to take anything away from the New York Knicks. This is the best this group has ever looked together. We just went over numbers. This is the best an NBA team has looked, period, over the last 11 games, the last month of a season, at any point in a season. It's incredible. Do I still think the finals is being played out west right now? Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but like, also, like, you know, we said it. I think we got cut off. We had to go to break yesterday, Gil. What? I can't tell you what the injury statuses are going to be on Oklahoma City and San Antonio rolling in this game. I mean, if they're both depleted like they are right now, the Knicks are far more live than they were a week ago or would be otherwise.
The numbers, guys, this is a great question. Looking forward to the show, Gilly. Question about your tennis plays over at VSiN for subscribers. I've noticed recently a couple plays, it has been exactly two plays, where you're taking the game spread instead of straight money line. Is this a change in philosophy or something that just presents itself in your handicapping? Thanks. Just a change, just a something that presented itself with both Taylor Townsend today and then with Demir Dzumhur the other day against Davidovich Fokina. Really good on clay in both cases, not quite good enough to beat said opponent, in my humble opinion, and the spreads were large enough, 7.5 in the case of Dzumhur, 5.5 today with Taylor Townsend, that I couldn't resist playing those. Doug Tuttle, honestly surprised Mizorowski isn't the outright favorite for NL Cy at this point, holding 5-unit plays on Cy at 22-1 and K-leader at 30-1. Doug Tuttle, I'm with you. That's why we did the segment yesterday. Not why we did the segment, but that was our conclusion, my conclusion with the segment yesterday. Tronsky, hey, Gil, yes, you're right. Buruchaga is the son. Oh, I didn't know he was. Of Jorge, who scored 3 goals in 1986 on the way to winning the cup with Maradona. There you go.
Yeah, Miz plus 370 at DraftKings.
I remember watching that World Cup with my buddy Juan back in the day and his dad.
That is cool. That is cool.
Yeah, Harold Irving, they brought back the... I can't read that one, Harold. Can't read that one, Harold.
You got him to start it, though.
Yeah. GV, New Jersey, New York. Density of the frequency has me in literal tears.
That's great.
Again, Kenny Atkinson. Not just the density of games causing this, not just the frequency, but the density of the frequency.
Well, the density of the frequency. Can I pick up on that with the New York Knicks?
Because yes.
The one thing I can tell you, we do the whole rest versus rust thing, right? How big of a layoff is this, right? Mm-hmm. The New York Knicks don't want to stop playing basketball right now.
No,
like,
they don't.
That is...
They got to wait till June 3rd, like, more than a week away.
Take a week off and hope this magic pixie dust lasts until then. Oh, boy. I don't know.
Timmy Goodtimes, Tim Bontemps, the Knicks have now outscored their opponents by 262 points across the last 11 games. To your point, Kelly, that's actually 11, not 10. I guess the graphic would look better for 10.
Yeah, I guess.
That's the best point differential across 11 games in NBA history, regardless of whether it's regular or postseason play. What an incredible month it has been in New York.
Do you realize that's how long it's been, too? These NBA playoffs, man, they get so extended. Been a month.
Oh, my God. Have you been on the show for years? Or I keep calling it interminable.
We get into it. I get into it. You don't think about how much time has passed. It's incredible.
I thought last year's NBA playoffs, and it was enjoyable because the Pacers' run was great, but that was the most interminable of all of them. It's like, okay, let's just wrap this up.
See, I don't, like, it doesn't bother me until we get to about this point, right? Because we've had games every night. Yes. Every night I'm locked in.
I actually have not been bothered by it, but maybe because I took a week off in the middle of it. I haven't been bothered by it this year. The week off in between this and the finals could get ugly. That's why it's nice that the Spurs and the OKC Thunder are still playing. Speaking of which, by the way, last thing about the Cavs before we go to OKC.
Yeah, and I got
Spurs.
One more Knicks stat to play, too.
One last thing. So, Harden... I still think we're the better team, although it's 4-0. Atkinson, we should be up 2-1 analytically. And then yesterday with the Kiniella of density and frequency of games coupled with just the schedule is, it's a thing. This is a step up for the Cavs. By the way, owner Dan Gilbert just said, hey, yeah, we went further. You know, this is a step up a positive direction, but we're nowhere near where we need to be.
Right.
Is the way that they lost this series, despite the fact that they got to the finals, which for them is a step up, is this fireable? Do you think Kenny Atkinson could lose his job from all this?
And
not just the comments, but the comments just as the cherry on top of the way they played.
Can he? Yeah, I think he can because, like, man, if I was in charge, I'd be looking around. Well, I don't even, Gil, I'll take it a step further. We started talking a little bit about this yesterday. This would be, I'm probably, personally, I'm holding on to Donovan Mitchell. Everybody else is on the trading block.
What's
the end goal of this team? You brought it up. Eastern Conference Finals. Is that the goal?
Kelly, is he a superstar, though?
He's a top 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah, but he's not shouldering a championship team.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with today's NBA, yeah. Right? If you're not Shea, if you're not Jokic, you're not Wembanyama.
And Will mentioned this in the group chat yesterday. He's lost, both in Utah and Cleveland, he's lost a lot of bad playoff games a lot of points.
He has.
To the Spurs and the Thunder. The de facto NBA championship, as we're calling it, and a de facto best of three now with the series tied up two games apiece. We go back to OKC tonight, where, you know, OKC remains the series favorite. They've got home court games 5 and 7. Not that home court has mattered here thus far in this series. Game line here tonight, OKC a 5-point favorite. What were they in games 1 and 2? A little higher than that.
Yeah, higher than this.
6.5. And remember, after game 1 when the Spurs beat them, I was surprised that it didn't go down. Well, now it's gone down. Game 5, down to 5. Remember, I said I thought it would be 4.5 in game 2. And instead, it even ticked up a little bit for game 2 after the Spurs won that one in overtime. But now it's OKC by 5. The total is 217. Play, sir?
Yeah, game 2, we were zigzagging still. We were still trying to figure out these injuries, right? It was, 7, 7.5. 7 game 1, 7.5 game 2.
Everybody played the game 2 trend.
Right, exactly. Everybody played that.
The refs call it a certain way.
This is come down. I was looking at this yesterday. When I was looking at 5.5, 6s out there yesterday, it feels about right. I don't really think I'm going to get involved. I got my over games home. We were betting Spurs all weekend. I mean, I piled back on that on Sunday. Yep. I felt like it was good to get my money in, get my money out sort of situation. But this is coming down. I grabbed a 5.5 here before the show started. There, it is 5.5 at DraftKings right now. The rest of my board, you see a 5 out there? Because I see 4.5s everywhere else. It's 4.5.
I'm looking at an offshore.
Okay.
The offshore pillar.
And DraftKings just ticked a 4.5 in front of my face.
There you go. There's the number I thought it should be.
Yeah.
Fair line, if to use the Drew expression, for game 2, I thought should be that.
And look, injuries. What's going on? De'Aaron Fox played 31 minutes last game, so it looks like he's feeling a little bit better. Dylan Harper's still on limited minutes, which me and you don't love, because he's second best player on the San Antonio Spurs, if you haven't caught me at Gil talking about it.
That's right.
I don't love that. But A.J. Mitchell ruled out. He will be out for the Thunder, and Jalen Williams is still questionable. I don't really know that I expect to see him again tonight. And it's we talk about the depth of the Thunder, but when you're talking about ball handlers and who starts this offense, it's SGA, it's Jalen Williams, and it's A.J. Mitchell. And if you're missing two of those three guys, it puts an unbelievable burden on SGA, who already has a ton to do. Spurs.
Let's go Spurs. 19-1 to win it all. By the way, here, the Knicks' last 10 margins of victory to get to plus 246. You remember that? Ready for this? 29, 51, 39, 6, 14. Oh, it's competitive. 30, 11, 16, 13, and 37. Eastern Conference basketball.
It's incredible.
The Knicks rule the roost, going to the finals for the first time since 99. Hockey, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Circa's 2026 football contests are open for business, and you don't have to live in Las Vegas to play after your required in-person registration. So you must come here in person to register. Then Winner's Circle Proxy got you covered, handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, then play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. We get tweets beating the book. Kevin Downs, brother from another, he says to me, shout out to Kelly, only one there that had faith in my Knicks. No fraud. Oh, ask Kelly how tall he thinks Wes Unseld was. Random question. This is great. I happen to know this because
I have no idea.
I grew up a Bullets fan. Wes Unseld, Hall of Fame center. Do you know how tall he was?
6'8".
6'7".
Okay.
Maybe 6'8".
Sorry, it was a great question. I could tell I was being led somewhere, though.
Yeah. James Fraction, our buddy from Maryland. He said, hey, Gil, I've never seen this before. I'm familiar with Chilich, but I've never heard of his opponent, Kwame, until today. FanDuel posted a Kwame-less line, both pre-flop and in-game. Kwame destroyed Chilich. Who is he, and what is your handicap on him in the French Open? I did not have him. There was nothing in his numbers that led me to believe that he would beat Chilich here. But they're offering you a one-way line on a match? pre-flop it in. What the heck are they doing? Stop it, FanDuel. James Sott, asking for a friend, but game five of the Knicks-Cavs analytics series is still Wednesday at 8 p.m., right? That's a great tweet.
Plenty of jokes to be made about that upcoming, yep.
Bruce Dobing, and I love this comment. I love this comment because we talk about the games every day, we recap them, and then we tend to forget about them. Bruce Dobing, it says, for Cavs coach Atkinson, if Tony Brothers calls the foul on Ausar Thompson getting tackled with 1 second left in game five against Detroit, there's no game seven against the Pistons. Also, if my aunt had wheels, she'd be a bus. It's very true, though. Like, they swallowed the whistle on that foul.
No, it's a great point. I was bracing myself for the Cavs defense, but no, I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad. That was the hold two thoughts in your head tweet. That was a great tweet.
Real Knicks. As a Sixers fan, I hate complimenting the New York Knicks, but what they're doing in this playoffs is amazing. They're steamrolling everyone. And don't give me this BS about competition. What they're doing just doesn't happen. I'm with you. And a lot of people looked at that graphic like, oh, well, they're playing a week. No, they did it in the playoffs. Those were all regular season and playoff
draft. Yeah.
Speed to burn, 725. Cleveland must be reading their analytics chart upside down. Somebody turn it around for them. And New York Mets 16, Scott. Knicks fans, after sweeping into the NBA Finals, we're going to party like it's 1999. See what he did there?
Mm-hmm. Was playing on the court right after the game.
MichiganJobFairGiant.com. That's an interesting take, talking about the Ausar Thompson thing. It highlights how crucial officiating is in tight playoff games. The ripple effects of a single call can change the course of a series, but the focus should also be on how teams adapt to adversity. Well said. Shrek McPhee, you always say Plinko when NFL is in full swing. My Lord, women's clay court is probably more accurate for Plinko. Goodness, can anyone hold serve? LOL. Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Kind of the thing in women's tennis and kind of the thing on clay. DJ Jams, good morning, Gil. I opened a Kalshi account this morning just to bet on Kenny Atkinson getting fired. Unfortunately, there's no market for it. Wake up, Kalshi. Seriously, Kalshi, what are you good for?
You're going to have to make one, man.
Let's talk some hockey. Jake Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4, H-A-H-N, the number 4. He, of course, the co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Jake, what's happening, man?
Not much, guys. French Open going on. I know, Gil, you're dialed into that. I've placed a couple wagers here, and I'm dipping my toe into the water a little bit. And I heard you reading some tweets there, swallowing the whistle. We had some swallowing of the whistle last night in the National Hockey League. Carolina, Montreal, overtime, big game, 1-1 series. You could have committed a murder, I believe, in that overtime. And I don't think that you would have. I don't think it would have been a penalty. The only way you're getting a penalty, I guess, these days is puck over glass, which is kind of a silly call, but it is what it is. It's a black and white call, so you got to call it. It's the only way, I guess, you're getting a penalty in overtime these days.
An actual homicide could have been committed, and Jake said play on.
Yes,
play at on. That point yesterday.
Play on. Hurricanes, let the boys play.
Hurricanes, by the way, take a 2-1 lead in the best of seven Eastern Conference final with a 3-2 overtime win over the Canadiens.
Was it offside, Jake? I have no clue. I swear to God, they're talking about a game I had on mute and I'm watching it. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here.
In reference to the goal that Montreal scored in regulation, it was offside. And then that was a quick review. I think it took one look at it, and you see it in that possession of the puck. He crossed over first. So that one was pretty cut and dry, Kelly. I do believe that was offside. And then you get an overtime, and I mean, you can make a long list of calls that probably should have been made or would have been made in any other situation, but the refs put the whistles away in overtime, and that old adage, let the boys play. And I've always been of that mindset, guys. I want to see it settled 5-on-5. I like 5-on-5 hockey. I don't want to see it, with a fringy penalty. But at some point, a penalty is a penalty, and you got to call it. I do think there was a couple on both sides, Montreal and Carolina, that each team got away with in that overtime last night.
Let me ask you a couple questions here, because the Hurricanes, I talked about, 85 Oilers went 9-0 to start the playoffs. Hurricanes went 8-0. They couldn't get to 9. They lost the first game here in this series to the Canadiens, but they are now 10-1 in the playoffs. The greatest record to 16. In the 16 win playoff format is the 16-2 88 Oilers. The Hurricanes, as you pointed out, are 10-1 now. So they've been that dominant on pace, at least towards that record. The group chat that I'm in, Chris Felica, Todd Wishnev, Steve Fezzik, Will Hill, the consensus on this series is that the Hurricanes are way better than the Canadiens, and that the fact that these games are close is kind of the surprise. Do you agree with that generally?
I would agree with the fact that the Carolina Hurricanes are way better. I don't think it's really that close. Now, the one thing I will say, I'm not shocked that the games are close just because of who Montreal has between the pipes and Jakub Dobysh. And if you look back at Carolina's previous two series, Philly and Ottawa, yes, they did win all eight games, but there was a bunch of games there where it was close. Carolina plays a lot of games that are just one goal games. They haven't really had a game where the offense is totally opened up. They go out there and win, you know, 5-0, 5-1. That's been rare for the Hurricanes in the postseason. So yes, they dominate puck possession, they dominate the shot clock, all those sorts of things. But yet you look at the score and you go, okay, well, it's 2-2 or it's 3-2. And the Canes have been good at getting that goal when they've needed it throughout the course of this postseason. Game one of this series, Gil, I don't think you're ever going to see the Canes play another game like that. That might have been the worst game I've seen the Hurricanes play in 5 years. And they had, what, 12 days off between games? They did not look like themselves. So games two, games three, those are more of what I expected the Canes to look like against Montreal. And if the Habs have any shot in the series, it's got to be an all-time goalie performance from Jakub Dobysh, some timely scoring. That's basically how the Habs have gotten here. And Carolina is even better than the teams they faced to get here as well.
No interest in the Canadiens then, plus 350 adjusted series price, plus 370. We're showing.
Honestly, it's not a horrible number just for the magic beans that this team seems to have and the goaltending for Dobysh and the fact that the Canes have had trouble in conference finals in the past. I've been of the belief all year, I think this Canes team's different. I think they're deep offensively. We still haven't really seen their top players step up a lot. They did score the overtime winner last night, so maybe a step in the right direction there. If you are interested in it, I don't think it is a horrible number on the Habs. It won't be for me, but if they win game four, they get a little bit of life, you know, 2-2 series, they could be right in this thing. As much as they've been outplayed the last couple of games, guys, they're not out of this series just yet.
All right, Golden Knights and the Avalanche. Improbably, the Golden Knights are up 3-0 in this best of seven Western Conference. Now, Western Conference Finals, we just talked about how the Cavs, the no-account Cavaliers, just laid down in game four against the Knicks. Hockey ain't basketball. This is a coin flip tonight, game four here at T-Mobile Arena, where the Golden Knights are trying to close out the Avalanche four times in the history of the NHL as a team come back from a 4-3 deficit. What do you think about that in terms of, you know, hockey not being basketball and the Avs' chance of actually getting back in this series and perhaps even competing for the victory?
Well, I do think the difference is you are going to get a very desperate Avs team tonight. The only problem is, are they healthy enough to beat this Golden Knights team right now? If you look at all three games, and I've looked at the numbers through all three games, the Avs have been the better 5-on-5 team in all three games against Vegas with zero results to show for it. They led in the third period of game number two. They led 3-0 in game number three, and they weren't able to close it out. I would expect the Avs to make a goaltending change tonight and go to Mackenzie Blackwood. Will that matter? We're going to find out. I do think they could win this game. I think they could maybe even win the next game briefly, get back in the series to win four. Might be asking a lot of this Avalanche team, especially with the injuries that they have, guys. Kale McCarr did come back last game, which was great to see. How healthy is he? You know, obviously he's dealing with some kind of shoulder upper body injury, but he did play 27 minutes in the last game, so he looked pretty good to me. But this Nathan MacKinnon injury is where I really worry. He does not look like he's going to be at 100% tonight. Quotes about him maybe only playing the power play and things like that. I don't think that's going to be the case, but the fact that he's going to be operating at less than 100% makes me think the Avs are just crumbling at the worst possible time, picking up key injuries. I actually like the value on Vegas tonight, guys, as a very slight underdog. Like I said, I think the Avs could win. You mentioned it's a coin flip, and I think they could win the next game and get back into it. But if I'm making a bet on tonight's money line, it would be with the Vegas Golden Knights and a chance to put this team away, go to a cup final.
Last thing, Chris Velika, the Bear, brought this up in the group chat. I want to say it about the Minnesota Wild. You subscribe to this as well. He said, imagine being the Wild. You're up 3-0 in game five, I believe it was, against the Avalanche. If you somehow don't cough up that lead and then McCarr is hurt, right? Maybe right. You actually win that series. They've got to be the team that has the most regret right now of any that's been ousted.
I was thinking about we actually talked about it on my show yesterday, and the fact that you had the McCarr injury, 3-0 in that game. Maybe you could have got yourself back into it, but Minnesota will be back next year, guys. When I'm talking to you next season, Minnesota is going to be a team I'll be on heavily.
All right, Jake, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, always great, guys. Good luck with the French Open, Gil.
Thank you, sir. You too. Jake Hahn, everybody. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at Visa.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So, looks like we're going to split the women's matches for a slight tick upwards. Meyer Sharif wins in straight sets. Does so against against Dalma Galfi. That was a plus 115 winner for us. But Taylor Townsend kind of falling apart here in the second set, so we're not going to get home with her plus 5.5. It does not appear anyway, although you never know. It's never over till it's over. But Coco doing her thing here in the second set, so it looks like we're going to split the women's side of things. Men's pending.
Did Cerundolo win yesterday? Did not check that.
Francisco Cerundolo.
Francisco, whose brother is who again? I forget his.
Juan Manuel.
Yeah, Francisco.
Cerundolo beat Botic van de Zandschulp in four sets.
Okay, so
he will take on Hugo Gaston, who beat Monfils yesterday.
Yeah,
Monfils with a 6-love final set.
I need Coco to close this out, and then Boco to close out that parlay I said yesterday.
By the way, may I say something? There's a guy on Twitter who only posts when I lose games or when I lose. And then he disappears for weeks on end when I win. You have to be the biggest loser out there. Like, this is your life. This is what you do. You wait for losing days, and then you post, and you go away. God, you're bad at this.
Hey, Gil, you remember promising taking me and Danny to Madison Square Garden for if the Knicks ever made the NBA Finals?
I do not.
It was weird. It was the first time I ever saw you drinking, too. It was a really crazy night. Yeah, you started saying some weird stuff.
Really?
You know what ticket prices are? Okay, first of all, this is... When you say courtside at Madison Square Garden, I'm assuming that means like
Spike Lee.
No, I think that means behind where Spike Lee's at, because I don't think those are even for sale, right?
You would assume not, somebody puts them up.
That's what I'm assuming when I tell you courtside.
Yeah.
$105,000.
A seat. For
game three in Madison Square Garden.
Somebody's got that kind of dough. Somebody's going to pay it.
So 1, 2, 3, quick math. That's $315,000 to take you, me and Danny. Thanks, man. You're a good guy.
Wait, what did you say? I thought you said it was 100. Oh.
105.
Oh, okay.
315.
I forgot I was taking two guests.
That's right.
I forgot I promised two guests to go. Somebody's paying it.
I'm just trying to think. What if I could have gotten Gil to say something like this at the NBA Cup game? If these two teams ever meet again.
NBA Cup. Who could forget? Who could forget?
It was a great night. We had a great night. Had a great time with the crew.
We'll see if the NBA Finals becomes a revenge spot for the San Antonio Spurs. Let's see. Numbers, guys. What do you think about my Emma Navarro ticket, 250-1? Well, I mean, it's a good number, but she ain't winning it.
What do you think about her in these first couple rounds? Because she did. I almost added her to the parlay.
Emma Navarro sort of burst onto the scene. Billionaires, by the way. Not quite the Pegula billionaires, but billionaires nonetheless.
Gotta love an underdog story.
Sort of burst onto the scene. A year ago, 2 years ago? We were hitting her at a $4 dog once against Sabalenka, if you recall. And then she kind of like, her game sort of suffered here last year. Wasn't as good. And now she has, in a more full-size Emma Navarro, I don't know if you've seen her lately.
Oh, I have not.
She is really playing great tennis. She looks different out there. But she's playing great tennis. 250-1. I don't think she's winning the tournament numbers, guys, but I like your number anyway. I get the bet at that number.
Won her opener, I'm guessing, and then this is a hell of a match tomorrow. Iva Jovic versus her?
What's that?
Iva Jovic versus her tomorrow?
I'd go Jovic.
Tomorrow at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Pacific time.
Jovic should be a rightful favorite.
Minus 156, Navarro plus 123.
Yeah, it's respect for Navarro's game. Nemo, Ryan's voice, shocking. One of my Minnesota franchises was in the wrong place at the wrong time in the playoffs. A tradition unlike any other. Talking about the Wild, who we just talked about with Jake.
I was sitting here and I'm like, man, wow, the Wild catching straight. What could have been.
I think it's a great point. It's like, what could have been? You could have had the Makar injury. You could have gotten out of there. You could have played the Golden Knights. By the way, Golden Knights, just again, this city just absolutely graced, touched by this franchise.
I enjoyed listening to Stormy and Matt talk about it yesterday because both of them, like, lived in Las Vegas for a long time now, right? And just Stormy talking about how, man, everybody hates the Golden Knights.
Well,
of course it makes sense.
This is why I sort of highlight, again, my experience as a Caps fan.
Right, yes.
Which I did last week and said, keep in mind, it took 44 years for the Caps to win a Stanley Cup. In their 52-year history, they've only been to two Stanley Cup finals. The Golden Knights are one win away from going to three in their first 9 years.
It's just, incredible.
You're not a normal hockey fan base. And yes, it's the jealousy of that.
Right, right. And it's you're comparing the Caps. You could compare. The run is so ridiculous at this point. Any fan base would be like, this is ridiculous.
That's 100% right. I'm just giving you my Washington one. But the Canadiens, we haven't won a cup since 93. The Maple Leafs haven't won since 67.
I mean, the entire country. Jeez.
I mean, Shrek McPhee. Says the guy posting your L's on X is the same guy who's waiting outside the studio when he's in town acting like he's a big fan. Oh, totally. Absolutely is. He also adds Coco French, Sinner French, France World Cup 59-1. Book it. Okay.
I think you need to throw a Wemby Finals MVP in there then, too.
Eagle Marine mentions about your question about the Habs and the Canes last night. So the fans, it just makes zero sense. The Habs score in the Canes challenge offsides. Refs rewind the tape to check for offsides, to pull a goal off the board after the stadium explodes. In the NFL, the ref does not catch it. No way. They instant replay to check for offsides, pull down a touchdown. That was not a lot of grammar there, but he's all over.
Yeah, isn't that like a like one of the assistant coaches like in the NBA where it's like, okay.
That, by the way, what a pressure-filled job that is.
Oh, totally.
To be the guy to tell the coach
to
review.
Very glad you picked up on what I was getting at, because I don't know how it works exactly, NHL versus NBA, right? But it is like, hey, we got to look at this closer.
All right, this is player to advance further in the French Open. Player to advance further. By the way, further correct here, not farther. Farther only refers to distance.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
English lesson for the day.
There you go. We have two men's matchups. Well, let's take the second one first, because I could just throw that out. Jannik Sinner -1100 versus Sasha Zverev at 6-1. There's just not any way you're going to get me to bet against Sinner. So that's a throw out. He's winning the tournament. Djokovic versus Felix Auger-Aliassime is very interesting, though, Kelly. Novak Djokovic, winner of 24 slams, is lined at -400 to get further in this tournament than Felix Auger-Aliassime, mm-hmm. is +275. I would actually make, if you force me to make a bet here, I would make the bet on Auger-Aliassime at +275. Because here's what Djokovic has to face. He gets a Valentin Royer here in the second round. He should win that one. But then in the third round, he will have either João Fonseca or Prismic. I believe is how you pronounce that. Who's a great clay court player. I'm not sure Novak is a lock against either of those guys, Fonseca or Prismic. And then in the fourth round, he's got either Casper Ruud, Tommy Paul, or Casper Ruud or Tommy Paul. Also, Alex de Minaur also, I think, is a possibility there as well. But Casper Ruud, we talked about on the podcast, Casper Ruud's got great clay number.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Djokovic beats him. So for me, Djokovic could lose in the third round. He could definitely lose in the fourth round. Now, Auger-Aliassime, the reason that it's lined this way, by the way, is that Auger-Aliassime has not played his first round match yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he still hasn't played it. So he's got to play Daniel Altmaier. I believe he beats Altmaier. Second round, it's Buruchaga I've got Buruchaga in this match right now. How is Buruchaga doing right now? Let me see. He's up a break in the third set, tied one piece. So let's say it's Buruchaga. I think he beats Buruchaga. I just like saying that. And then Auger-Aliassime would take on Nakashima in the third round. That would be coin flippy. And then it'd be Valentin Vacherot or Flavio Cobolli or Lerner Tien or Francisco Cerundolo in the fourth round. Now that Medvedev has been knocked out, he's not a possibility. So I guess what I'm saying here is,
that was big for us, right? Medvedev losing was in the same quarter as Cerundolo.
Yeah, that's big.
I didn't want to cut you off early. I decided to cut you off now.
That is large. That's very large. So I guess what I'm saying here is I could absolutely see Novak being bounced around earlier than Auger-Aliassime.
What did you, anything?
Or at the same round, which, you know, was worth a shot on the +275.
Right. Anything you took away from that Novak first round?
Yeah.
Like concerns?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Giovanni Mpecci-Perigard is not a good baseliner. And he won a set. His serve is mitigated on clay. Novak had a little more trouble than he should have.
I asked that question because I think for a lot of people like me, where you're not as locked in as you are, I watched a lot of that. I watched that whole first set, right? And you're like, well, Novak's Yeah. Novak's washed. Like, this he's toast. Well,
how many times have we said that?
And then he bounces back and wins easy, right? So I'm like, I don't know what just happened.
By the way, no play on any of these four on the women's side. I looked through all these. Sabalenka, Świątek, both will advance very far. Rybakina, Coco is too close to call. Svitolina ought to be the big favorite against Jessie Pegula. She got a great draw, did Svitolina. And then Muhova versus Mboko. I mean, that's also tilted big time towards Muhova because Mboko might have to play Keys in the third round, and then she's Pegula in the fourth. That's a dogfight, whereas Muhova has Samsonova in the third, and then I think a weakened Andreeva in the fourth. So there's no play in any of those matchups for me. I like Ogier Aliassime at +275, the best of all of those.
Yep. Just don't forget a hyphen next time, Danny.
Yeah!
FAA spelling. Champion still.
Baseball next.